You're listening to Resolution Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
All right, check. 1, 2, 3. I'm not running the board. Am I live? Okay, check. Sweet. All right. It's a special broadcast here on the Resolution Radio Network. And I want to try to cover some things here. Just what I've seen and observed. And also take into account some of the hype that's going on right now from some of the various sources that have sent me stuff during this weekend. And when I've seen myself, there's some interesting things I wanted to bring up. So we're going to have a roundtable discussion about what's going on, especially from people all over the country that are going to be featured here. And I wanted to tip the hat to Gunner Troy. He's going to be running the board. And I'm actually still on the road, coming back from a trip, and I've actually gone through 4 states, stopped along various ways to see what's kind of going on, and it's kind of like the old Public Enemy song, "Don't Believe the Hype." So, it's kind of interesting because what I'm saying, can contradictory to what our elected leaders and officials are telling us. Again, I found a couple of memes on the way that actually really strike a chord on a few things. First off, the H1N1 chief was starting at about 10 years ago. Oh, the big brouhaha about that, there's 60.3 million people on this shit. Okay, well, alright, right on. Then they got vaccinated. Well, I firmly believe that an individual who's actually related to me actually had got the damn thing. I told them not to get it. And I think they're a little more fucked up than they were before. And they're already having issues then. So, that's a problem. So, here's a meme that I got. President Trump, the COVID-19 coronavirus, just took a point. Their U.S. case is 1,329. U.S. deaths, 38. Panic level. Mass hysteria! Super Obama. H1N1 virus. U.S. cases, 60.8 million. U.S. deaths, 12,469. Panic level, 0 zilch nada. Conclusion? Total freakout caused by aviation. Research it. You'll find these numbers are in the correct range. So I think some of us do remember that shit from about 10 years ago. So, in the great sovereign state of Ohio, we're also starting to see some interesting shit happen. Governor DeWine seems to be flipping up and going off quick. So Thursday, before I got off work, and announced that they were closing all schools for 3 weeks. And this is obviously still before spring break. And they told me they already plan to close some of the colleges and universities in the Dayton area. So St. Clair, UT, and Wright State were already planning on being closed and probably doing some more online classes. So, I think that's pretty interesting. Now he's saying there's a possibility to be closed for the remainder of the school year. Well, in Ohio, that would be end of March, end of May, beginning of June. So, as this thing has started to progress, I kept asking myself, cui bono, how does this benefit? Because the fact that, what the fuck is going on? They're even talking about possibly interrupting the primary process. In Ohio, our primaries are on Tuesday. There are several states that are having the primaries coming up. Now, here's an interesting thing, a little box history, was the fact that typically in Ohio, we have our primaries in May. For whatever reason, last year, Republicans decided, oh, we're going to go move the primaries up to March, and it just happens to be on St. Patrick's Day. Really? What the fuck? We've never had a problem with it before. Why in the hell do you have to have the primaries moved up into March? That makes no fucking sense to me. So, there's some other shit going on. Current update. Mike DeWine has now basically, as of 9 o'clock tonight, all bars and restaurants are to be closed. In other words, you can't go into them and dine. You can go through the drive-thru. I'll also have reports that Walmart will be closing like 9 o'clock at night, KBUS, and will not open until 7 o'clock the next morning, quote-unquote, have time to help restock the shelves, just that, you know, yada, 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 whatever. That being said, there may be some caravans and trucks coming, so I can tell you on the fucking road, I have not seen an uptick of 53 footers driving around here. So I've been on the road for a while. There are no extra semis on the road as far as freight. And I'm driving right by some sort of liquid carrier right now. You don't know what you could be carrying. Could be carrying trucking for all I know. That'll be just pretty interesting. But we're going to try to do a couple different things here since I'm on the road. I'm going to have to pull off soon to get some gas. And so I'm going to bring some of my guests out so that we can get some discussions going. So, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm not able to come on or lose a signal, I will call back in and Gunner will bring me back on the board. Okay, Gunner, go ahead and bring on our first guest, and we'll figure out who it is. Hello, hello.
Hi, this is Billy Roper.
Hey, Billy.
Hi, Gunner.
Thank you for calling in, brother.
No problem. Yeah, this is definitely a wild day. It's been a wild week, and for the Bulk Right Telegram group and the Shieldwall Network, I've been keeping up with it and giving them kind of a rundown, like Sonny was talking about. You know, the governors of Ohio and of Illinois have basically closed bars and restaurants, and it didn't really stop there. You know, there was almost unprecedented press conference today with Trump basically saying that everything's under control, and then the chief medical officer saying that the worst is yet to come. Sonny's right that, you know, we have 18,000 to 20,000 deaths per year from the flu, and no one really, you know, is too upset about that. It's kind of taken for granted it's going to happen, type A or B, and it's unlikely that the Wuhan virus is going to kill that number of people. But, you know, it's kind of like if I really wanted to get away with killing someone, one way that I might do it would be to tell them that they were terminal anyway, that they're going to die from cancer or what have you, and they might as well just kill themselves and then they commit suicide. It's not murder, right? The damage of the Wuhan virus is not really the fatalities from this contagion, as bad as it may be. We've had worse. The damage from the Wuhan virus is the economic impact caused by the panic and paranoia, potential draconian, totalitarian, authoritarian restructuring of our whole society that could happen. You know, for example, right now in New Orleans, in Ohio, in Illinois, here in Arkansas, around the country, they are literally talking about doing like Italy did and shutting down the country with at least a 14-day mandatory quarantine of whole regions of the country, if not the whole country itself. New York's Governor Cuomo just a few minutes ago asked President Trump to activate active duty U.S. Army units, not the National Guard, to help deal with the crisis there. A week from now, you know, the rates are expected to be about the same here as they are in Italy. people are going to have a second wave of panic. You know, I've been watching like everyone else last week. You can't get a roll of toilet paper anywhere. I've stocked up. I'm a prepper anyway. I'm not worried about it. But this panic buying that's been really pushed by the mainstream controlled media for the last couple of weeks, especially the last 48 to 72 hours, has resulted in people being so tense, so paranoid that, you know, the reality almost doesn't even matter. The effect is what matters, and the effect is that literally the Federal Reserve Bank lowered interest rates to zero this afternoon, and the Dow futures still tanked right after that announcement by 800 points. So that's not even working. Even with $700 billion flushed into the system and printed free, you know, caveat money for quantitative easing, and that still didn't work either. People are selling off their gold because the gold reserves are not propping up anything, and it's really creating a credit bubble underneath the fake economy that could crash. So in my mind, you know, I obviously express my condolences and sympathy to anyone who gets sick from this, and certainly those elderly or those with pre-existing conditions who might pass away. That's horrible, and I don't try to belittle that or, you know, act like it's not at all important. But the reality is this is a flu that's probably not much worse than typical flu season. What's horrible right now is the effect it's having on our economy and the national morale. As Sonny said, in the midst of a primary election season, and, you know, I don't think much happens on this scale by accident. I think that sometimes things get out of control, though, and what they might have intended to be just an economic recession to try to ruin Trump's reelection might have gotten out of control and now could tank the entire economy. We could look at, I'm not trying to be, you know, hyperbolic and be too radical, exaggerating things, but I think I'm in safe territory when I say that we could see a very, very bad economic recession, worse than 2008, even potentially, you know, if the supply chain breaks down further, an economic collapse out of this, breakdown in law and order, and the government could try to use that as an excuse to enforce martial law. And, you know, there was a – exactly. You know, there's a guy a couple days ago that a lot of people didn't even see in Maryland that got shot to death in his sleep because of some politically incorrect post that he had made online about the Boogaloo. He was like a libertarian-type guy, not a white supremacist or anything. They shot him to death in his sleep, in his home, in his own bed, and wounded his pregnant girlfriend who was laying in bed beside him. Those you did not hear about that. You got to look it up, you know. So imagine what would happen under the cover of martial law with an economic collapse going on. You know, people should take this very seriously and not so much worry about contracting the coronavirus, but worry about the impact on our economy and our freedoms.
Yes, very much. Okay, Gunnar, bring on our second guest, please. Hello. Who's our second guest?
Hello?
Who's this?
Hello, this is Ray.
Hey, Ray. How's that?
Okay, hi. Good, thanks for having me. You know, my thoughts on the coronavirus is I believe that this is a manufactured, man-made virus in a lab. I do not believe that it came from animals. I don't think nature works that way. And it was released either by sabotage or on purpose at about October in Wuhan, China. So, but they had an event called Event 201. And it was a staged global economic experiment, a simulation of an outbreak brought to you by Bill Gates. So on October 18th, 2019, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and the World Economic Forum jointly organized an event in at which policymakers and health experts worked together on a simulated coronavirus outbreak. So they had already, I believe this was planned out, and I believe that other viruses that were previous, you know, you have your SARS and your MERS, Ebola, all that, they have been just tests, you know, up to get to the perfect virus to be released in a very populated area. And I think the reason why Italy is being affected more right now is because there are northern factories, clothes making factories, where Chinese are working, and they all went back to China for their New Year's, which is about the end of January, and then they all went back to Italy, and that's why I think Italy is being more affected at this point. And then what I think is interesting is that there's a lot of Italians that are going to either Algeria, Tunisia, or, you know, to other areas, and it seems to be blaming, those from Italy coming into these countries, but I don't think that so far there's no proof of these people coming into these other countries. It just seems like they're blaming people traveling from Italy. It's possible that they are spreading this virus on purpose into every country. And the reason why some numbers are not even showing is that they're just simply not testing. Like, for example, a lot of countries in Africa just haven't been tested. They just don't have it. And if the numbers are showing high in South Africa and in South, you know, Korea, how do they know with the proper testing for this particular virus? If the United States doesn't have the correct testing for the CDC, and we just barely got started on our testing starting about the early of March, how does China know, how does South Korea know, and Italy know that what they're testing for? So, and it's possible that how this event-staged experiment ends is a global vaccine. And I read an article that already in Denmark, they want to force vaccines onto the public. And I saw a video online of this woman truck driver showing the ports completely empty. So goods and are not coming in to the country, and most borders are closed of these countries. Most countries' borders are closed. So that will definitely affect our economy. We just haven't seen the effect yet, but we're in the lag response, and in a month or so, we're going to see a shortage of goods and supplies that we receive from China and other countries. And
There's good news. I did see a report that said that Trump was going to issue an executive order that no more medical supplies are to be brought in from China. They're to be U.S. made, and I'm assuming for the government. You would think that would be common sense, that the U.S. government, anything that it uses, it should be American-made. There's no excuse to have Chinese products used by the federal government. For example, about 18 years ago, the state of Minnesota had passed a law that said any Minnesota flags that were sold in Minnesota had to be made in Minnesota. American flags sold in Minnesota had to be made in the United States. So there's one state that took the initiative and said, hey, man, you know, again, I see nothing wrong with that myself. I think DeWine should do the same thing for flags for the great sovereign state of Ohio. That no Ohio flag flown by the government should be made in China. It should be made there in Ohio. So I think that's the issue in itself. Okay, Gunnar. Bring on our third caller, please. If you come on, state your name. Hello?
Hello? Nico, North Carolina.
Yes, Nico.
What's up? How's it going, son?
It's coming right. Good. So you're in about 5 minutes. Give me your 2 cents on what you see. Because I know you've got some pretty good keen insight. About just some of the media garbage that's actually been kind of floating around and deny that. There's a huge awakening with America. They see the bullshit. They see so like somebody's already got the virus. Ah! So there's an awakening because people start to see the media bullshit. Or I see memes that says, how do we deal with all this chaos? And the guy just goes, turns off the TV. So the fear porn is running on overtime. And I think they're trying to destroy Trump's economy. For some reason or another, why would it be right now? So, but we'll discuss also an interesting backstory that this whole thing could be a cover-up for something that's long overdue. So, Nico, within 5 minutes, give me your 2 cents on what you see on this topic.
Well, you know, I don't watch TV. I have Netflix and stuff like that, but we're not TV watchers. I try to stay away from it because I find a lot of it to be really just, even beyond this, just all of it just seems like a bunch of crap that I have no interest in. But, you know, I'm seeing the results of everything just in what I do for a living, just in my area, you know, all the stores here, especially the warehouse stores, Costco, BJ's, and all of those. They're all running out of toilet paper, which has become a major joke here. As people are fleeing, they're not stocking up on food, but they're stocking up on something to wipe their asses, which is hilarious in its own way. I've got a buddy of mine who is he delivers pizzas, and he said just today he went to a house to deliver pizzas. He delivered a $35 order. They never gave him a tip. So in you know, anger and frustration, He texted a bunch of us and he said, here's the address, go egg their house. And a friend of mine retaliated and said, make sure you use eggs, don't use toilet paper because that shit's expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's become quite a gag here over the toilet paper issue. But we have seen certain things. I work for a school, not a public school, but a music school, privately owned. It's not small. We have about 720 students. And what's going on with that is we send a memo out to everybody, faculty and parents alike, and we ask the parents, drop the kids off, but please don't come in. Just stay in the car. And the reason we said that was because otherwise our waiting room becomes extremely packed, you know, so we're keeping the place a little bit sparse. We're not putting bodies all on top of each other. And, you know, and that's if they want to come in for lessons. So far we've only had a handful out of 720 you know, ask if they could have a refund for a couple of weeks or whatever. We did have somebody ask if we did any online versions of lessons. I said, no, you either come in or you don't. But we're seeing a little bit of change there. All the businesses around us are hand sanitizers everywhere. We have them too. We're Clorox wiping things. So we're taking precautions and things, but nobody is getting, you know, crazy about it. We're not getting fanatical like you're seeing with the toilet paper shoppers. And it is starting to affect other things. As a working musician who, you know, works for a school, that's my full-time money. I'm hoping that, you know, doesn't become a major issue. But we are seeing announcements now that they may mandatorily ask everybody in the county to just, like, stay home and not go to work for 2 weeks. And I'll get back to that in a second. But we're starting to see that on other levels already. Venues where local bands are playing, they're telling their venues are calling the bands and canceling gigs because they're taking, you know, time off and they're having less customers, so they can't afford us. I had a booking agent contacted me today, and she said she's losing thousands right now because of all the cancellations, thousands of dollars. And that's just in general losses. But this is, you know, before the announcement that they want to force everybody to just stay home for 2 weeks. Now, my question is, with everybody that, you know, we know, friends, family, you guys, anybody that you personally know that's living paycheck to paycheck, how is anybody, regardless of what you stock up on food, stock up on toilet paper if you feel the need, but regardless of your prepping, so to speak, what in the world are people supposed to do with you know, 2 weeks of income not coming in? There's too many people living paycheck to paycheck. What are you're going to have thousands and thousands of people saying, well, now what do I do? I didn't pay my rent. I didn't pay my electric. These companies and these landlords and everything else are not going to just waive fees because of a state of emergency. They still need their money. They still want their money.
Hey, actually, let me chime in on that one. And
yeah,
I saw press conference with Dayton Fair Dan Wiley the other day, and she's saying that they're looking at basically a temporary amnesty to anyone who's facing evictions, and making sure that the power of water doesn't get shut off. So eventually, they're doing that, and I did see something about, I know Ohio's looking at doing that. I don't know if it's happening on a federal level. However, I did see there's a bill being passed that's passed by the House, supposed to go to the Senate. McConnell has recalled recess, so he's supposed to be back in on Monday to vote for this bill, which Trump wants to sign for $50 billion or something like that. And there's talk about giving him, gas at 233 here in eastern Kentucky, where other places I've seen it, 50 to 70 cents cheaper everywhere else. Must be a bunch of camel jockeys running that place. Anyway, so I've seen some other places where they're basically foregoing those activities. They're also talking about possibly shutting down less non-essential personnel in the city of Dayton itself, which means you probably don't need people in the courts. So if that's what Dayton, Ohio is doing, I'm sure other localities are doing that as well and having some discretion on how they want to handle it, depending on what goes on there as well. So, okay, Gunner, call back in, Jessica. Go ahead and bring on the next caller, and when you get on, please state your name.
Hey, this is Landon.
Hey. Oh, Landon Montagano, how you doing, bro?
Good, man. It's been a while. Thanks for having me on again.
Definitely. I got the cream of the crop on this freaking show today, let me tell you what.
I appreciate that. Well, my two cents on this thing is I think there's a lot of ways that you can look at this, you know. Maybe it was a bioweapon. Maybe it did originate from bats. You know, I have my theories on this. You know, maybe it was released intentionally. Maybe it was an accident. But I think we always need to keep in mind that you never let a good crisis go to waste. So whatever the case is, whatever the case is, whether it's intentional or not, or natural, whether it is a big deal, whether it's a hoax, I don't think it really matters. Maybe we'll figure out after the fact. Maybe we'll never figure it out. But I do think that this crisis will be exploited by a variety of different actors towards their own ends. So, for instance, one of the things that I've heard going around right now, I think there's a bill being introduced that would go after encrypted messaging services like Telegram and stuff like that. And this is the kind of thing that can be snuck through while everyone else is focused about, you know, Corona-chan. And it's something that we need to look out for. But I think it is a medical issue. Here in Idaho, we actually just got our first case, confirmed case, the other day, and now we're up to 5. I do think the numbers are significantly higher than what is being reported, and I think this is for a variety of reasons. I know here in Idaho, anyway, we didn't even get the test kits in until very recently. So up until that point, unless you have the test kit, the only thing that you could really do to figure out if someone has this is give them a CT scan and check for ground glass opacity, which is the filling of the lower lungs with fluid. And so if you see that on a CT scan, all that really tells you is that you have fluid in your lungs. It doesn't tell you that you have coronavirus. So there's probably a lot of people who have gone in with pneumonia or flu-like symptoms who have not been included in this overall confirmed case count just because of the nature of the disease and how little is known about it. So I think that is definitely an issue. I would imagine all of the numbers, especially the Chinese numbers, are significantly higher than what is being reported for reasons that are both, you know, organic and conspiratorial. That said, I also agree with Billy that the economic repercussions of this are going to be substantial. I think now people are starting to realize maybe we shouldn't ship all of our industry to China.
Right.
You know, a novel idea, you know. Maybe we should make things here in America. Hmm.
Let's
you know?
Let me add to that. China had recently made comments that basically they were bragging that they've got us by the balls because they supply us almost all of our medical equipment. And not just talk about gloves, masks, and other things, but many other items as well. That being said, this would be a perfect example for President Trump, for his America First agenda, to put forth tax incentives to basically not allow any more Chinese stuff to come in, put out huge tax incentives for American manufacturers to produce this stuff as quickly as possible, and maybe even a small stimulus so they can have some front money just to pay for the basic production stuff, because if you already have the apparatus in place, if you're going to do other items, you have to get machinery, this, that, and the other, which could take several weeks just to have the machinery delivered, much less installed and certified, so it can be used properly, because medical equipment has to have very strenuous criteria to be accepted. So that's an issue in and of itself. So I think that definitely
needs
to be addressed.
It's a major issue, and, you know, globalism works on an economic level when everything is working according to plan. But in the world of logistics, you know, I used to work in procurement, and everything happens just in time. And I think a lot of the panic buying that you're seeing right now is not necessarily because demand has increased, although I do think that is partially true. I think it's that supply is also decreasing, and people are worried because we understand that we live in a global world now, and there are these supply chain issues that will have a tremendous impact. And, you know, it was also mentioned how most people are living paycheck to paycheck. You know, they say we're only three meals away from revolution. So I said earlier how this whole situation is something that can be taken advantage of by a variety of different groups or individuals for their own ends. And I know Billy, as well as myself, we subscribe to a more accelerationist philosophy when it comes to politics. And I think now is our time to shine, you know, because it is people who are prepared who can serve as, you know, a lighthouse in a stormy sea for those people who are not prepared, and we can rebuild our communities and our ethnic heritage and our local tribalism in light of all of the major issues that the coronavirus is exposing in regards to globalism. You know, when the global system collapses, be it because of economic reasons or a pandemic or war or a combination of these factors, you realize just how important your local community is and just how important it is to have a tribe of people who are unified and who are on the same page, who can look after one another while the hordes of, you know, useless masses are still dependent upon public transportation and, you know, getting food at the grocery store and all of these other things that have taken their freedom from them, their independence and their sense of self-sufficiency from them. So, you know, if there was ever a good time to be a prepper or to be an accelerationist or to be someone who has this local community collectivist sort of sense of self-sufficiency, I mean, now is the time. So I think there's so much I could say on the issue, but I think we need to look at, regardless of what the origins of this are, we need to really, really ponder how this can be exploited. You mentioned, you know, the martial law and all these economic consequences, and these are very, very real factors. And it's not going to be any one of these things. It's going to be a combination of many of these things, and we need to be mindful of that as we watch how this outbreak unfolds.
I time, this could be a beta test for something else. This is also could be a beta test for Rex 84. It'd be interesting to see. Okay, Gunner, go ahead and bring out the next caller, please. And when you come on, say your name.
Yeah, good evening. This is Brian.
Oh, great. Brian Culpepper.
Yeah, good evening, sweet. Comrade. How are you?
Good. I want to get your take on this as well, sir.
Well, I think the last gentleman that just spoke there is absolutely spot on. It is time for those of us that are working at the local levels, building strong tribal bonds, preparing for these worst-case scenarios. That's going to be our time to step up and lead in many cases. If this thing does, you know, get much worse, certainly, you know, in today's world with the mindset of the masses today, they're going to be looking for leadership, and that's our chance in the nationalist camp to stand up and provide that leadership. This has been the catapult that has springboarded other nationalist-based movements around the globe over the, you know, the last century or so. Leaders, men that actually stood up and solved the problem. They got tired of the talk and the inactivity for whatever reason, that actually just stood up, cleared the way, and led the way. And I think that's an absolutely spot-on observation there. But nevertheless, be very mindful, all of us, all the Western nations, we're under constant threat of assault, and that includes weapons of mass destruction. Most likely today in today's world, it's going to be biological or genetic-based weaponry that will be unleashed against the people of the West. So, again, I'm without going into deep speculation, I'm not going to say that this was fabricated and it was done deliberately. At this point, I'm not willing to go out on that limb at this time. But I will say this, in wartime, I don't believe in coincidences, and I think it is very telling that just days before this thing got going hot and heavy, that Jeff Bezos sold $9 billion of Amazon stock. I think it is also very telling that, you know, Bill Gates has stepped down as the chairman of Microsoft Corporation. I think it is very telling the timing of a prison sentence handed down to Harvey Weinstein of 23 years, and presumably a deal has been made for his cooperation to implicate others as well that are among the highest levels of the global elitist community. We're seeing a lot of things that the timing on them, again, I just don't believe it's coincidental. And I also have to agree with what Billy said earlier as well, that the biggest, I think the threat really at the physical level is more than a bit overblown. Personally, we've seen and experienced far worse and didn't see the state of panic that was induced into the public. So I really feel like they're trying to draw the public's attention away. There's something going on that they don't want us to look at. You know, at the practical level, you know, a lot of us, many of us, have basic rations, basic supplies to carry us over through the rough patches. I think people in the cities that depend on imports of goods and services, to, you know, for their existence are going to feel the brunt of this. And the only thing I can say is in a lot of these, you know, major population centers, the way people are buying up all the toilet paper and stuff, a lot of them are going to wish they'd been born a cat or a dog or something that can lick its own butt here before long. because you can't even find toilet paper around here in a number of stores in East Tennessee. It's absolutely crazy. So anyway, it's certainly an interesting scenario, and, you know, we're going to sit back and observe a little bit more and, you know, let's see what goes on. But those of us, that you out there that know us over here in East Tennessee, we're prepared for the storm. I throw myself in the accelerationist camp as well. So let the rough ends drag and the slick ends slide.
Gunner's told me we do have some technical difficulties. If you had called, you'd already spoken for whatever reason, you got dropped, call back in. A couple of people are trying to call, just a weird error message. So, as we see you light up on the board, Gunner's going to try to bring you on. Okay, Gunner, if there's someone else on there, go ahead and bring them on. Doesn't matter if it's before or a new one. Who else is there?
Hey, Sonny, this is Gunner. The other people that are in the room right now, they are still live with you. So you have Brian and then two other callers with you right now.
Okay. So okay, go ahead and tell me who the other two callers are. Just shout your name. Brandon, are you still with us?
Hello? Nico's still here?
Okay, Nico's still with us. Who's the other caller?
I'm still on the line.
Okay, we got a third caller. Who's the other one there? Billy, you still with us? Ray? Okay, so far it's just Brian and Nico that's still with us.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Yep.
Loud and clear.
Who is I? Okay, man. All right.
Yep.
So you have three. Brian and Nico so far. Okay. Jessica, if you're able to tune in, try to keep on trying to call. And Keith, if you can hear, try to give us a call and Gunner will let you know. And Gunner, as soon as you see them pop up, just go ahead and make the mic hot. That way they don't stay in queue and hopefully they'll come online. Okay. So
if we're having a technical issue, do you want me just to go ahead and shut it down for a few minutes and then and load another show and see if that works any better?
No, because I'm afraid if we lose anything, we may have to get back up. So
okay,
we're going to go ahead and think outside the box here to the best of our ability. Like I said, I appreciate you run the board, because obviously I'm blind in the back. One of the conspiracy theories that I heard, and I'm sure many of you have heard about the sex trafficking rates and prostitution and everything else, have been quietly being busted because the press refuses to major coverage to these sex trafficking rates that are being busted all over. And in the process, Border Patrol, ICE, and others have been doing raids in the process of busting some of these illegals and criminals. They're uncovering huge sex trafficking rings. And it's like, wow. And we're not just talking about Mexicans. We're talking about other individuals that are un-American, as far as I'm concerned, especially with the American children that they've got in their grasp. But there is a rumor going around that this whole thing is a cover-up because of the fact that they are doing a massive pet offensive on a whole pedophilia ring. This includes CEOs of major corporations, sporting teams, sporting networks, government officials, all sorts of shit. And then just cranky-dink, just the other day, Bill Gates has resigned from Microsoft board to focus on philanthropy. Right. Maybe he did that so he could jump off ship before it could grab his ass. Who knows? That could be another reason why Trump has also suspended flights coming into the United States from Europa. I don't know if he's stopping flights going out to Europe, but Mexico is talking about sealing its borders to prevent this type of shit. Not to mention, Bolsonaro had just met President Trump in Mar-a-Lago. You know what? Just talk about basic economic shit, because she's having a similar situation going on there in Brazil. Maybe they're comparing notes. Maybe that was another purpose of the call to the Ukraine that President Trump was, and that was just part of it, because of the fact that we know there's a lot of corruption going over, and that's why that guy was elected. So maybe in the process of trading information, decided to do a whole dead offensive at once to get all these fuckers. Because you know as well as I do, until a member of Congress walks out in fucking handcuffs, nothing's going to change on Capitol Hill. It can't just be an aide or whatever. It has to be a senator or a fucking congressman walking out in shackles. Because that's the only way it's going to change in that thing. That's how the swamp gets drained. So, that being said, if that could be the case, this virus thing is just a cover-up, such as Tom Hanks and his wife, supposedly got the virus. They're detained in Australia. They cannot leave. Because apparently they have connections to Jeffrey Epstein. Justin Trudeau's wife supposedly has the virus. And there looks like Trudeau himself could be charged and indicted for corporate crimes in the United States. That being said, how in the fuck can we go into Canada and arrest an elected leader? That would be an act of war. But that being said, you know, who do we know what deals are being made in the background? So, let's see who's doing the thing first. Landon, let's start with you. What type of relevancy do you think that conspiracy theory could be, or is this what Trump has promised all along? He said during the campaign that Canada Trump was going to bust his pedophile rings. Do you think this is actually coming to pass, or is there something else? Is this just a beta test for something bigger?
That I think that if Trump was going to do the things that he promised and hinted at during his campaign, he could not have asked for more perfect political timing to do so. I mean, now is the perfect opportunity to arrest pedophiles and close the border and bring jobs back home. Will he do that? I have my doubts. But if he doesn't, he is a goddamn idiot, because you literally have all of the planets aligning perfectly to even get, you know, the most radical of leftists to support your agenda under the guise of a major pandemic. If you don't capitalize on that, you're an idiot. And I don't think he will, frankly. I hope so, but I don't think so. I do think we will get, you know, more manufacturing back here, which is good. I do think this will highlight some fundamental flaws in globalism, which is good. As far as, you know, bringing down pedophile rings and stuff like that, you know, I want to see every pedophile in the world hung and burned at the stake. But I don't think that is what is going to happen, because the pedophile networks are too powerful, and they control the entire system, and nothing happens in the system without the system's say-so, which is why I'm an accelerationist. I believe that we need to collapse the system so that we at least have some degree of control over our system. And I'm not going to sit idly by and wait on some potential white hat mutiny within the government to expose
the corruption of the system. I think the system itself is corrupt. And I think the system itself is what needs to be destroyed so that we get back to tradition. And I will settle for nothing less than that, which is why I said that we need to also capitalize off of this chaos for our own agenda so that we can bring about the change that we would like to see in the world, rather than hoping that some mysterious white hat cabal of patriots within the government is going to do that for us. And I think that's a more responsible and active approach to this sort of situation. Because when something like this happens, even if the powers that be think that they're going to exploit it in a certain way, these things are very volatile. They don't control everything. And, you know, if you look at what happened in Germany during the Weimar Republic, it was a very similar situation. If you look at what happened in Spain when Francisco Franco came to power, it's a very similar situation. And the rise of many movements, both left-wing and right-wing and anywhere in between, have started out of a major power vacuum that was created by a major systemic breakdown within the status quo of today. And so I think all of our efforts should be focused on not only keeping ourselves and our family safe and healthy and free of illness, but also make sure that we can, as I said, rebuild these tribal bonds and rebuild our communities that have been destroyed by the hyper-individualistic and extremely socially atomizing forces of globalism and cultural Marxism.
What are your thoughts, Brian?
Well, I tend to agree with the gentleman that just spoke there. I don't think that we should be dependent on some faction of the government to do the work for us that really should be, you know, done by men of character that rise up from the ranks of the working class and go on and effect the necessary changes that, you know, we in the reforms that so many of us, you know, want to see. Certainly, it's our time and long overdue for us, quite frankly, to stand up and take charge of our own destiny. And again, I don't trust the system. There's no one in the system today that I trust with my family's life, my kinsman's life, my life. I just feel a much more higher degree of personal responsibility for myself and my family and my community. I'm not going to entrust that to anyone out of Washington, most certainly. You know, out of the entire halls of Congress, there's, what, 535 of them. I doubt seriously if we've got two dozen men and women of real integrity in there that aren't either corrupt, bought and paid for, blackmailed into submission, or are just happy with the status quo and the direction that America's headed. In other words, they're quasi-communist, if not outright communist. Globalism, no matter what you call it, is nothing but Marxism by another name. Again, if you support the status quo, you are the problem and need to be removed from your positions of authority and responsibility. And while it would certainly make my day to see a number of elected officials, including former presidents, led out in handcuffs on national TV and ultimately, you know, take a long drop from a short rope, I seriously doubt if that's going to happen, but it is the stuff that my dreams are made of. My sweet dreams are made of those. Maybe we'll live to see it, and we can only hope because it's long overdue. But and another very solid observation is the parallels that exist in America today in the Weimar Republic in Germany of the 1920s. It's nearly a parallel line. And looking back at other civil revolts, such as the French Revolution, these were basically volcanic eruptions that, you know, emerged and grew organically among the people because they were, quite frankly, just so fed up with being abused by the very people that were entrusted to look after their affairs. And again, it's long overdue here in America. I have to put myself, again, in the accelerationist camp as well. I don't think we're going to talk or vote our way out of this. When I do advocate for voting, it's simply to try and get our piece of the tax dollar pie so that we can have more funds to promote accelerationism, plain and simple. Never misunderstand me. Anyone, when I say vote and engage in the process, it's only so that we can get our piece of the pie. That those are our tax dollars that we paid in. But I don't, you know, I'm under no illusions. We're not going to vote our way out of this. We're not going to talk our way out of this. And ultimately, we're going to have to be responsible for our own affairs, plain and simple.
What are your thoughts, Nico?
Well, you know, I don't trust anybody. You know, we see patterns in things all the time, and the reason I don't trust anything is because of the patterns. First of all, I mean, as far as the virus, this is one of the goofier ones that people just overlook, because as soon as things go away, as soon as things simmer and settle down, we all just casually forget. It's no longer in the limelight, it's not spotlight, it's just gone. And, you know, there's people that already forgot about Zika, and that was only 2016. I mean,
yes.
You know, nobody's paying attention. We had Zika, before that we had Ebola, swine flu, bird flu, SARS, West Nile, the list goes on, and we don't hear about any of these damn things anymore. So, you know, the coronavirus, as far as that's concerned, is just another one of these that we're going to forget about in 2024. It's just going to be gone in history in a few years, and we're going to forget it was even a thing, with the exception of people that tragically, you know, had someone they lose. You know, you don't forget that, obviously. It's not about personal attacks. But, you know, this thing as it is that we have other things going on where, you know, a bunch of years back we had that incident in Ferguson, Missouri. Police officer takes down what he believes is a criminal, and in a fatal shooting. Next thing you know, we have martial law in the streets. There's tanks on American soil, American tanks on American soil, keeping protesters at bay. It's like, oh God, here we are. Well, we just had a shooting here in Raleigh. You know, I'm a Raleigh, Carolina resident, and an officer. It's interesting to see where it pans out. We're going to hear more of the story later when this kid gets out of the hospital. But on the initial report, ABC 11 News was on the scene. They were interviewing witnesses on the scene, and the report was that this guy came out of a pizza place, and the policeman jumped out and shot him. And there was no explanation. They said they answered a 911 call. Initially, this is what was told. They answered a 911 call that the guy had stolen the pizza. Well, first of all, I don't know who steals a pizza, but if you steal a pizza, you're gone and out the door. You're not going to be there long enough for a 911 call. The police were evidently there in a magical speed, which is ridiculous. It takes them a lot longer than 20 seconds. And besides that, the pizza guy, talk about your key witnesses, the pizza guy claims he did pay for it. So there's no theft, there's no nothing, and they're just claiming that this was the initial thing, and witnesses were irate, so they surrounded the police. There were witnesses all around the police, circled them in, and said, what the hell's going on? This is not what we want in our community. It's another sort of Ferguson type of incident, except they didn't get quite as extreme. And so, you know, I keep an eye on it, because it's ABC 11, and within the hour of hearing about it, I go on ABC 11's website to see, you know, any updates, and the article that they put up there was that this kid pulled a knife on the officer. And again, this doesn't make sense, because we still don't know why the officer was there. He wouldn't rob a pizza guy at gunpoint and say, give me the pizza, but not the cash. And then he runs out the door and pulls a knife on the cop. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. And then to take it even further, as I'm reading the article on the ABC 11 website, I went to show it to my wife, and the article changed from a knife to a gun. So now he no longer has a knife. He magically has a gun. And, you know, we see these things happening all the time, but it seems like they are, you know, made more of an issue in the media and everything else, as far as, you know, the virus and the shootings and things like that. They all seem to happen during election time, and nobody seems to think that that's a coincidence, except for, you know, a few open-minded people. I don't trust anything. I don't trust any of it. I think a lot of it is a bunch of horse shit that's going on around us, and I just, you know, I don't have a solution, but I can honestly say that we're in for a hell of a fucking roller coaster ride. There's just way things have not gotten better and better over the years. We've gotten worse and worse over the years, and you know it's going to take something drastic to make anything, you know, go in the right direction these days. But you know, that's my personal opinion. I trust none of it. I don't trust anything that's going on, and I think a lot of it is just one giant disaster.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is Gunner. Sonny had to step away real quick. So, I mean, yep. Brian, let me come back to you real quick because I was wondering this. So, I mean, with people running out and you see everybody, they're absolutely going nuts right now at the stores, and we've talked about the closings and everything. I mean, is this something we really even think we have to worry about? I mean, I haven't been worried about this one bit myself. I don't worry about catching this. I don't worry about anybody I know, any of my loved ones, you know, really being affected by this or even dying from it. So, I mean, is this something that you think everybody is, they're freaking out for no reason? You're not worried. Are you worrying about this yourself?
Me, absolutely not. I think the threat of this is far, far, far overblown, out of proportion by the mainstream media mostly, which we know is simply the propaganda arm of the system in America today. So I put absolutely no faith in the mainstream media at large anymore at all. And I really do think they are fueling this hysteria. And this is not by accident. They certainly have a reason for doing so. What that reason is, I'm still looking at. In my opinion, the jury's still out on that one. A number of people on this panel here of discussion tonight have put forth a number of certainly plausible theories for the reason that we're seeing what we're seeing here, the fear-mongering that's going on and being perpetrated by the system via the mainstream media. But me, at a personal level, I don't worry about it in the least. Those of you that know me know that I live in a very rural setting to begin with. I don't have a lot of day-to-day contact with people and individuals, and I'm just going to sit up on top of my mountain and, you know, look down on the masses and you know, sit on my front porch in my rocking chair and look down across the valley and let's see how things unfold and how it shakes out. But again, me personally, I would urge calm through this whole thing. I certainly am not going to go out and clean out the local stores of all the toilet paper and, you know, things like that. If you don't have a month or so supply on hand anyway, you know, at all times, just a matter of due course, shame on you.
Exactly.
You know, you know, but beyond that, no, I mean, it hasn't changed my day-to-day routine one bit. If I was going to stock up on anything in an event of a crisis, I'd make sure you got plenty of alcohol because you might as well party.
There you go. Yeah, well, I mean, and the only way it's affecting me really is with the schools now being closed here in Kentucky for the next 2 to 3 weeks or whatever, early spring break. So, I mean, I can see it from the, you know, that's how it's affecting me. I'm not scared that I'm going to get the virus or they're going to get the virus. I'm, you know, concerned now, you know, and daycare is getting ready to shut down probably on Monday as well. So, I mean, it's like, how does the average parent, you know, now fit this into their schedule that the kid's now home all day and not going to school? You can't put them in daycare either. So, I mean, it gets back to what the one caller was talking about earlier with the economic situation going from family to family. You know, we really do live in a time where we are paycheck to paycheck, a lot of us. And, you know, right now, I mean, and I don't know if you heard about this, but there is something in the Senate, and I'll let either, I believe we have Landon, is it, or Nico left with us, or maybe Sonny's back. Sonny, are you back yet? Yeah, you said he had to get gas. I know he's out on the road, so hopefully we haven't lost him. No, he's still there. So, but, I mean, living paycheck to paycheck, you know, the thing with the Senate, they proposed something that was supposed to be like they're going to start paying, you know, families for time that they have to miss because of this. Is anybody else can jump in? Have they heard that?
Gunner, let me just say this, that the very scenario that you just laid out right there, where working parents with the public schools shut down are now, and daycare potentially shutting down, this only drives home the efficiency of and the importance of the traditionalist systems, where your nuclear family and your neighbors and your community were so important because they were there. Now you have the grandmothers. You have the retired mothers and the grandmothers and the great-grandmothers and the elderly neighbors that are retired all pitching in to make sure that the children are adequately taken care of, while the parents
right.
that are still of working age that are the breadwinners that are you know, charged with, you know, winning the bread for the family are able to go out and perform their duties that are necessary for the maintenance of the family. This is the structure and the wisdom behind traditionalism. It has worked for thousands of years, and in the course of one or two generations that we've gotten away from that, look at the situations that we're now facing. The West is in crisis mode, and until we fix this and, you know, get rid of, eradicate that disease of cultural Marxism and hyper-individualism, we're going to continue to suffer. This is why,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Family, faith, family, and folk are so important to us. That's how the West was built. It worked. It got us to, you know, our top is the preeminent, you know, our place as the apex predator on the planet. It worked for us before, and it will work again.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I was just upstairs earlier tonight joking with my family that, you know, this is kind of, you know, what it's going to feel like with Bernie as the president, you know, because they are literally around here rationing off the toilet paper at the store. You can only have one pack. You know, we're getting one shipment of toilet paper today. Here's your one pack for the day or one pack for the week or whatever. And, I mean, that really, I mean, you joke about it, but, I mean, that's what communism is going to do to this country. And there is a very, you know, there's, I mean, I guess they've propped up Biden so well now that Bernie may not get the nomination. But, I mean, we as a country, though, have been trending in that direction, and it's only going to get worse 4 years from now. Any thoughts on that? Any other, either of the other callers still with us? Or, Sonny, are you back?
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. Sonny's close to his car. Sonny, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can jump in if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think what's happening right now politically is you mentioned Biden and Bernie. I think Biden represents the Democratic Party old guard. He is the status quo, right? No one really wants Biden, right? I mean, even leftists think he's a weirdo, but he's the establishment's boy. And Bernie kind of represents, Bernie was super popular with the youth, super popular. And I think what's happening right now politically is you have the establishment left, the establishment right, in what I would define as Trump and Biden as their figureheads. And then you have
you're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.